Well, Easter is over, at least Easter Sunday. Yeah. The family gatherings are over, the ham is gone, and the marshmallow peeps are 90% off. Those marshmallow peeps, anybody like them? My nephew figured out what to do with them. We tend to get together on Easter Sunday with a family, and sometimes we have games. And he used those marshmallow peeps with a mouse to catapult them, and we had a catapult contest. Flinging marshmallow peeps. At least nobody ate the ammunition. Not like when we had the jelly bean tossed into the cardboard rabbit's mouth. Sometimes the ammunition got tossed into a mouth or two. And if you're on a team and somebody eats your jelly beans, you know. Anyway, Easter's over. And fun as it is to have a grand Easter celebration, we're kind of back to ordinary times, aren't we? You know, life is back to normal. Except it was not 2,000 years ago when those disciples on Easter Sunday, remember this gospel, we're still in Easter Sunday. It was anything but normal for them. It's hard to even comprehend how disappointed and how terrified they must have been, hiding in a house together somewhere, locking up the doors for fear. And you can imagine not only fear, but guilt. Guilt, because their best friend had a wonderful Passover meal with Jesus, and he expressed his love to them in the most passionate way. And then when his life was on trial, what did they do? They ran and hid, or they denied him. And the disappointment of thinking that they were with the Messiah, that this was their Savior, and now he is dead, and what does it mean for them? And then Jesus appears. Right? Now, those walls are probably made of thick stone, but he comes right in to greet them. And what does he say? He sums up everything and tells them exactly what he needs. He says, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." That really says it all, doesn't it? All that fear, all that sadness, all that mourning. Peace be with you. And then he breathes on them and sends the Holy Spirit into them and says, they are given the power to forgive sin. So just in a few short sentences, Jesus turns fear to peace. He turns peace into love. He turns love into commissioning. And he turns commissioning into the authority to forgive sin. It's another way of saying that Jesus sends out his blessing to us to love us and to forgive us. Of course, not all the disciples were there at first. There is Thomas, who was away at the time, and people like to say that he's, you know, they like to call him Doubting Thomas, because he wants to actually see the wounds in order to believe. But the truth is, I imagine much of our faith is like Thomas's. Show me something, help me to believe. And he looks at Jesus and he doesn't just acknowledge that this is Jesus, he says, "My Lord and my God." This is the first time anyone calls Jesus God. He sees him and he knows. You know, it's not, people, to say Lord would be fairly common, to say Sir or Father or Rabbi, but God, here he is, seeing the risen Christ, and he says, "My Lord and my God." The wounds are not necessary for Thomas. He simply sees Jesus, and he knows that everything is going to be okay. So what can we learn from this scene? What does it mean to us? Is this like, is this, gathering, something like church? If it is, it's not in a very, you know, it would be a rather crude one. There's no altar, no pews, no red doors. As a matter of fact, the doors are locked. No one is welcome. There's no music and no fancy vestments. We don't even know if there are believers. They want to believe, of course, but the death of Jesus certainly had put a lot of doubt in some minds. So there they are, gathered together, Jesus with him, and he breathes the Holy Spirit on them and sends them out into the world. These people, these disciples, they're not unlike us, you know. They've heard everything that we have heard about Jesus, the lessons, the command to love one another. He is the vine, we are the branches. To have to follow him and have life abundantly. All of these messages they heard, yet they chose to hide. And you may be thinking, well, yeah, sure, we understand the doubt. You know, some of us have it too. And then there's this that breathing the Holy Spirit and say, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. That's sending forth into the world. What does it mean for us? What does the Easter message have to do with this? Go as I go, so as my Father sent me, so I send you. We all ask this. For me personally, being locked up in that room doesn't sound like a bad idea, because after all, as the Father sends me, so I send you. What does it mean? You know, I think Christianity is a come-as-you-are religion, or rather a go-as-you-are religion. Jesus takes us where we are, who we are, with the gifts we have, and he just asks us to use the gifts that we have however we use them, and share them with others. Take the faith that we have, whether it's abundant faith or just a little bit of faith, take what we have and use it and go out into the world and share it. It seems that's what Christianity is about. It's not about buildings. It's, you know, we're a certain way to worship at a certain time in a certain place. Although all that is wonderful, it's so wonderful that we have this opportunity to come together, Christianity is really about how we live our lives and how we share our faith with one another. When I think about this gospel, there's just so much, it's so jam-packed with messages. You know, what could you talk about if you were going to preach on this gospel? You could talk about resurrection, or the ability for someone to walk through walls, or the wounds, or the blessing, or the commissioning, or the forgiveness of sins, or the true church, or the fears, the doubts. I won't preach on all of those, I promise. But it makes us think, doesn't it? What is our faith? What does it mean that Christ has risen? What does it mean for me as a rent-a-priest to say, this is my God, this is my Lord and my God, and Jesus sends me out into the world? I wrestle with that, as I suspect many of you do also. What does it mean to receive the Holy Spirit, to receive Christ's blessing, peace be with you, to know that Christ is risen, to know that death is not the last word? We're all challenged by that question. And as we celebrate the resurrection of Christ, each of us has an opportunity to say thank you, thank you, thank you for what has been given to us, to take our gifts and decide what it is that we are to do with them. And Jesus says, peace be with you. Peace be with you. You are forgiven. And you have the power to forgive. Easter is not over. It's just beginning. Easter is always about new life, whatever that means for you and for me, for each and every one of us, whatever that means, new life in the risen Christ. It's an exciting time. God is not finished with us yet. Amen.